So nefarious. So nefarious. Get it?
Octavarius. So nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh. He'll make you cry. But most importantly, he's going to save your life.
He'll let him speak for himself. He's got a lot to say. Pass him the mic and get ready to sway.
Rare roast beef.
Hey, everybody.
Hey!
Got to start it sometime. Welcome, everybody, to the Octavarius Podcast. This is episode 104 of the podcast.
Nice.
What?
Give me some more.
Give me more. So we got a roast beef and is it provolone cheese?
It is
on
provolone
there?
Cheese.
Wow.
And a little bit of horseradish. Not a
horseradish,
lot.
Horseradish, great. I was going to say, that would be great with some horseradish.
Oh, yeah. Horseradish can really make or break a sandwich.
Hurts my nose.
Well, if you that means you're having too much horseradish.
I'm congested, and that is the point.
Oh, that'd be a good idea, then.
Well, anyway, let's start off at the far end of the room and sound off.
Hi, I'm Scott.
I am Chris.
I am Castelvi.
I am Nick.
I am Tins.
I am Keith.
I am Brian.
I am Cloud.
And, Keith, when you made that sandwich, you didn't see the mailbag that I left in there, did you?
I didn't see it. Oh my gosh, Tins.
Yeah?
I think the mailbag is inside of my sandwich.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit. You didn't eat the mailbag yet, did you?
I took one bite, so I think I took out about a fifth of the letter. I think Lisa's going to have to pull it out of my sandwich.
Pull out the rest of it.
All right.
The rest of it.
Open it. There it is.
Crunchy sandwich.
Made of plastic.
Well, the letter is crunchy.
It.
Oh.
You could have killed yourself.
Yeah, I know, thank God.
Teamwork.
What does it say?
Speak!
It says, Dear Octavarius.
Hey.
I learned in mythology class today that people in Greece used to think the gods ruled everything. From the weather, to everyday life, to people dying. But then I learned in church that there's only one god. And then I learned from my friends that there's no god at all. They're atheists. What should I believe? And what's up with that?
Yeah.
Signed, Odysseus.
Oh, thank you, OD.
Oh, yeah, OD.
Yes, people make fun of my initials.
Well, you don't meet a lot of ODs.
No. Mm-mm. Oliver Daniel. Oliver Daniel Odysseus.
When did you guys study the Greek gods?
Very young.
Sixth grade
was like
December.
The thing in Illinois, right?
Somewhere in middle, like I think it was later for me.
School.
Seventh or eighth in Keith's life.
You know, we actually learned about them in freshman year of high school officially, but in but in sixth grade, I remember we had a choice. We could either participate in the play that was about Greek gods and goddesses, or you could choose not to for like 3 weeks or something while everybody rehearsed and then put it up. And I
what was the other option?
Aside from the play,
yeah.
You just don't do the play, which means you just have.
Play.
Which meant for me, like I guess I'm just drawing pictures of Donkey Kong and shit for a couple of weeks.
That's much better.
So
yeah.
You didn't do the play.
No, I didn't.
What did you do?
I just, you know, I drew pictures of Donkey Kong and shit for a couple of weeks.
Oh,
yeah.
Did they just give you, was that like an out so you could be like, oh, well, my religion and that's other gods and I don't really.
Or was it simply...
No, I think it was literally there are only so many parts to fill.
Oh, is that
it? And I feel like, I don't even remember an audition process. I feel like they just sort of asked people, like, hey, you want to be Zeus in this play? Like, you want to be Persephone in this play?
So you didn't get an option? They just, like, asked you?
I don't remember being asked or not asked. I just remember all of a sudden there was a play, the Persephone myth was going up, and then all of a sudden I was drawing Nintendo characters
for
3 weeks.
Did you think that they maybe thought you were too stupid? What, with all your dumb Nintendo drawings?
Might have been. I think Nintendo 64 must have like just come out around then, so I was pretty focused at that point.
Mm. Well, in Greek, like, I mean, aside from that, Greek mythology is one of those things that's kind of almost like a throwaway joke in comedy. it's kind of like the nerdiest thing you can be into, slash like the most useless college degree. Yeah. And that's like a joke. Like, I majored in Greek mythology because I'm a nerd. Well,
but that, it's so cool to have that knowledge of Greek myths, any mythology in general. It's such a fun topic of conversation. It's like knowing a story really, really well. It's like that friend of yours that knows Lord of the Rings really, really well, essentially.
And, well, not only that, Greek mythology, so many things, so many stories and films and other types of art have been based off of Greek mythology, so it's kind of, knowing those stories is kind of a key to knowing a lot of references in popular culture.
Samuel L. Jackson in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Was Zeus. Apollo, yeah.
Don't fuck with him.
I should have a lightning bolt up your ass. Yeah.
I had a really cool myth and meaning teacher in college, class I took with, with listener Ricky. Was he a man who was like younger but very stoic and spoke very monotone, but yet he was like,
yeah, I think so.
Really,
he was
funny
awesome.
And like awesome.
Yeah, he was my favorite teacher of all time in college.
But,
like,
all
younger
time?
Guy, stoic.
Yeah.
And
wow.
I don't know.
Well, I just really like Greek mythology.
So. Oh yeah, me too.
In your class, did you get to read like the graphic novel 300 and watch the movie?
No.
And, like,
what?
The pyramid
you
stuff?
Were telling me about that.
No. What?
Yeah, there was like one of our textbooks was 300.
Yeah.
And it was so cool.
Well, 300 is based off of historic fact. Albeit, of course, you know, exaggerated
to an umpteenth amount.
Yeah, but
a fun film.
But yeah, but it's not it's not with any mythology, really. The story of 300, of Leonidas and his last stand. It's just
historical.
It's historical. I knew it was. I didn't know it was historical at first when I saw the film. Or read the graphic novel,
yeah,
but then I was in, you know, I saw paintings of it when I was overseas, of the Leonidas' last name. I'm like, oh, well, this probably this was probably before the movie.
Have you been to Greece?
I haven't been to Greece.
Has anybody here been to Greece?
I've always wanted to go to Greece.
No, I know.
I've been to Rome, so I've been able to see some of the sculptures some of the gods and demigods in Rome.
Yeah. But I hear, and this is all from secondhand, that Greece is just a shithole.
Why? I hear it's beautiful.
Well, right now, it's in the shitter.
Yeah, Greece ain't doing too well right now.
Like, to visit, it's just, like, so, it's such poverty, almost, in a lot of places. Except if you go on the islands. The islands is where it's at.
Yeah, there's a lot of partying there.
Oh, it's just all partying over there. It's like the Caribbean for Europe.
Nice.
Yeah, you can club all night there.
Damn.
Yeah, but yeah, of course, Rome stole all of Greek mythology and Greek culture and claimed it as their own when they conquered.
And then we named space after them.
Well,
yeah.
they named it, really. Well, we didn't do anything.
I meant humanity.
Yeah, okay.
Chose the Rome gods for space.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, they...
No, Gustavo, you did it, right?
I did that?
Didn't you and I stay up really late one night?
I remember being really tired.
The planets and things after Rome.
To be fair, the...
We didn't get any credit for that either.
Uh-oh, we didn't get anything. I'm fine. I'm eating a sandwich.
We hadn't noticed.
Our guest in the chat room at Octavarius.com insists you stop eating already.
It's a big sandwich. I'm almost done, though.
Is it RJ?
Guest Travis.
Oh, okay.
Now, you guys are aware, or maybe you're not. You know, the United States is heavily based on Greek society, Greek architecture, you know, just the entire Greek way of
the idea of democracy.
It works well.
Yeah. Well, not only that, and then but architecturally as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the City Hall in Chicago is a Greek style building.
Yeah, well, I mean, all Greek culture of ancient Greece is so romanticized. That it's like
it was pretty fucking good.
Oh yeah, it was years ahead of its time. It was a golden age.
They discovered they invented democracy,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. And a lot of pedophilia, but other than that, a lot of modern technology way for their time, democracy, philosophy, architecture. Like I said, pedophilia.
The Olympics. The Olympics. Yeah, that's great that we still fucking do that. It's like a big deal.
Castelli, I didn't know you had a passion for Greek mythology.
Oh yeah, I.
Oh, he loves it.
I love Greek mythology. It's like it. It was when I was in
junior
high.
What do you love
the
most? I guess. Yeah.
What do I love the most? Oh God, I love the gods and the story and like the stories of the gods. And that dictate, that rule over everything, and the stories they explain everything in their own little way of how the world works. And of course, like I had a D&D background, so like the monsters there and like the world that were all there really spoke to me when I was a kid. I don't remember why. I remember like as. Of all the things when I was in junior high, like that, I was the same way.
I think the idea of all those mythological monsters fascinated me, and I think that only reinforced it once I got into junior high and I got like super into Magic the Gathering, and all of the monsters there had roots in Greek mythology.
What was your favorite monster?
Favorite, Jesus Christ. Minotaur is really fun.
Centaur is fucking rule.
Really, I was gonna say we do have a Minotaur song
A Centaur song.
True.
Yes,
we're big fans of our mythological creatures.
Well, it was never like mythological creatures. It was always like mythological creature in like the most boring, unremarkable scene. It was just like, oh, he broke the copy machine, and he's a centaur.
That's the best part about extravagant characters is put them in the most boring situation.
Well, that's classic humor. Either put normal people in outlandish situations or outlandish people in normal ones, and can't get much more outlandish than like a talking griffin.
Going off of just when we learned about this, and I do want to hear more about Castelvi's bizarre love, because I knew that you really liked it too. Mm-hmm. I learned about it. You all in Illinois learned about it in sixth grade, but I didn't learn about it.
Sixth and freshman in high school. That was the two grades that we would get it.
Ours was it was an advanced world history in my high school in Tennessee, and that was like a class you took as a junior or as a sophomore or junior or senior, because it was like a bigger point thing. Like it was worth more credit hours or however, you know, the point system works in high school. I can't even remember now. But it was a bullshit class, and it was taught by the teacher that I've spoke of before, who has cake in her desk, who actually had a chocolate cake in her desk.
A whole cake?
She worked her way through it. And
are you supposed to refrigerate that?
Dude, this was not a woman. It was more like, this was a Jabba the Hutt character.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm serious. She was a many-layered and fat woman. Grotesque looking. Very unkempt. Did not keep herself well.
She was a slug.
Yeah, she didn't teach well. She just, like, had a Scantron. Not a Scantron, sorry. A laminate thing of notes that she put on an overhead projector.
Oh, those are the best.
Turned off the lights for an hour, and we just wrote down the notes, and we were expected to learn it all ourselves. And luckily for me, my friend Hank, who was really
it just
big,
in silence the entire time.
Yes,
I bet Jesus was like that.
She didn't even read the notes. We were just instructed to write them down and learn it on our own. She was a terrible teacher.
That's not teaching.
No, it's not. It's
although
awful.
You know, I didn't learn about like Greek mythology at all in high school. I just learned about it in grammar school, and like they really can't teach you the full story because there's a lot of graphically violent and
horrible.
Sexually perverse.
Yeah.
Like you can't really tell.
That never stopped my teachers. They gave us the full, full blown deal.
Not my school.
I was in like fifth or sixth grade. There's no way they were teaching me.
They gave us the old text. Ooh. It would describe it in that old biblical sense. It would be like...
Kind of like the Odyssey-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we had to
read
the Iliad.
Yeah, that was in high school. That
I
think
I had to
read
that in Advanced World History, too.
You were in, like, sixth grade. Odyssey. Did you guys read the Iliad?
No,
yes.
I read both.
When I was in college, before one of the professors that was there when you guys were all there came,
we had this movement professor, and every Thursday he would teach us Tai Chi. Yes. And at the beginning of the semester, we each were assigned a section of the Iliad, and at the end of the semester, we recited it while doing the whole Tai Chi movement that we had learned. It was unbelievable. Oh. It was so cool.
Fun-zores.
Yeah. Some of the stories that of Greek mythology are absolutely fucking batshit crazy.
They're ridiculous. They're
just like batshit.
All of them are
crazy.
Almost all of them have some moment of complete crazy
Which
bullshit.
Is why, I mean, it only goes to the fact why polytheism really didn't catch on. Because
it's fucking nuts.
It's like it's so hard to keep track of all
well,
these fucking
stories. You have to have a story, and then you have to make sub-stories that connect the gods.
And it's like, wait a minute, how? But aren't they brother and sister? Yeah, but fuck, it doesn't matter. And it's
yeah,
like, oh.
But yeah, they're married because he came out of the dad's head, so that's barely a baby.
Oh man,
but before
you know?
They could like write everything down. I think that's how things got so wacky. Is they had
it's
to tell
it was,
stories
yeah, it was all...
aloud.
And I bet there was just some dick. In the ancient times, he was going around adding just complete crazy bullshit to all the stories.
Yeah, so he made her fuck a cow.
Wait, what?
That is true.
I'm
that's
Greek.
That's a true Greek story.
I know it's true.
That's how I was born.
Enlighten me for those who know more about Greek mythology than I.
All right.
So if this was like their religion, mm-hmm. What were their like... Like, did they have, like, a church, or how did
yeah,
they go about...
they had a temple, they had, it depended on what...
Each god had a temple.
Each god had, and it also depended on the city. Some, like, Athens worshipped Athena, that's where it gets its name. So they would have, the temples would be to the goddess Athena. And so some would be, worship Dionysus, would worship Zeus, some people who... would try to appease certain gods if they for their certain profession.
And do they only when you go there are there like sermons they tell you about? Is the Athena one only about Athena, or do they like include cool shit that does? Well,
I think it's more so just like the statues are there and you just sort of do it by yourselves.
It's not that they have a service.
Yeah,
you will have sacrifices.
Sacrifices there. Why is that funny, Nick?
No. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Soothsayers are hilarious. Yeah.
They are always depicted. They're just crazy homeless people.
Well,
right?
it's from the movie A Funny Thing Happened Away to the Forum, where Zero Mostel does a soothsayer, and it's, you can find it on YouTube. Just search it. It's 3 minutes. I find it to be one
Pseudolus?
Of the... Yeah, Pseudolus as a soothsayer, and he's just screaming obnoxiously.
I liken them to the man on the bridge, or like a man on a bridge in Chicago who just tells you absolute bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
And that somehow was taken by people as real.
Yes.
Made into the stories of religion because people, dumb people, didn't have any smart people telling them not to believe that.
But then people, like kings would have these fucking prophets. Like, goddamn, now I can't think of the word.
I'm sure they just took prophets. The prophets were probably people with mental disorders that spat batshit crazy things, and kings probably wanted them around because
they
thought they were locked into something bigger.
I forget what the word for it, but the people that would butcher like a bull and then read you the future
like
from its
oracles?
Engine. It's not an oracle.
Similar though?
It's very similar to an oracle, but it has a weird fucking name, and I learned it, and I totally forgot.
Is it the meat oracle?
It's essentially what it is.
They tell your future
from
meat?
From entrails. I don't have my laptop, because Mark's not here, but they would just butcher an animal.
I'm going to put the phrase meat oracle into being.
Oh man!
Well, all that reminds—it makes me think of
bird oracles that fucking watch birds and fucking tell the future. That's like fucking ridiculous shit.
It's like Joseph in the Bible; he would interpret Pharaoh's dreams. So, I think that's a crossover from like.
Yeah, it's just what it really is a theme of people not knowing what the fuck the world is, and like having like I don't know what the fuck this sky is, where am I, or how this fucking planet works.
I mean,
it's gotta be magical ghouls and ghosts.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, when you think about it, how much was unknown to them at the time? I mean, God, what? I'd believe anything.
Yeah, and you couldn't say no. You're like, it's just humanity was a bunch of children, and so you could tell them anything.
Well, were they like, were the Greeks big on like the magic tortoise that create? I mean, I know there's like magic tortoises and like the universe being carried on the back of a magic tortoise.
That's like a Philippines like Bali Java religion.
And plus, Chris, that makes perfect sense.
Duh.
Of course the universe is on the back of a tortoise.
Yeah,
the universe
moves
slowly.
That's why wind happens, because the tortoise is really just shaking.
Rocking back and forth. And of course the tortoise's experience is his universe's magical wind,
yeah,
which
yeah.
always affects things.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it makes perfect sense.
It explains
okay, so
our rage.
Question. Do you guys, so all this is all like wacky justifications, magical land. Do you guys think the Bible is similar and that's like people didn't really know, so they would make up these kind of magical
well,
stories.
The Bible, like a lot of other books, like the Bible is a lot of like myth stories taken from other societies.
Mm-hmm.
There are like stories in the Bible that can be traced back farther
in other sacred texts.
The
Virgin Mary Jesus story is not original. That's
yeah.
in multiple different religions from far before it happened. It's the same old story.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Same old shit.
They're always collected through these various societies. People tell the stories to one another, and they overlap.
Yeah, it's... but I think still we can find truth in myth. There's still something to it all.
Yeah.
I think it's it's fun to look at it and say, like, oh, well, this is how the Greeks were able to...
Yeah.
But then, even with all of that, and we laugh about the myths now, they were able to achieve so much mathematically, you know, like I already said, with architecture,
mm-hmm.
Artistically, even...
philosophically.
Yeah, philosophically.
Well, I would say that we've kind of... I mean, we still do the same thing. I've heard the argument that, you know, basically, like, our comic books and everything is, like, our current mythology. We have these heroes and these characters that everyone in the society knows, and everyone tells different stories, but it's the same
general...
They
address that in comic books, in certain comic books.
Yeah,
but
I even have, like, a similar thing that goes like this, and I see that, Nick, you have a suggestion, too, so I want to get to that. Of what this is, but I've been thinking just now about how just the stories of time create the entire nation. So like our movies and stuff, like we even just talked about in rehearsal, have created all the technology we advanced to.
Mm-hmm.
And the stories that used to probably be told about buildings before buildings were made, somebody dreamed up the idea, and then all the buildings were made to look like that. So all the way that Greek society looked.
I imagine, yeah, a lot of their architecture was built primarily out of their temples of worship.
Everything comes out of the stories they create before they have those things. So all it was is, all anything has ever been is somebody dreaming up something and then making it real.
Yeah.
And
it's
then
just a
someone
testament
else
to humanity's imagination.
Yes, exactly. Our present is just the imagination of the people in the past, and that's always how it's been.
And some societies can unleash that, and some societies...
Exactly. Some refuse change and they stop, where they just stop moving. That's why there's still Aboriginal countries. They just stop moving. That's just all it is. They don't accept new things.
Yeah.
And every time something accepts new things, it moves up and it moves in some direction.
Because you've gotten too attached to the shit you've already created. No.
And it's great. What you have is great. It's worked. Why change it? And they are right. They're totally right. Why change it? It's a great question. Ours is just because we want to. Our answer is just, we just want to change it.
Why not?
And you don't want to. That's your answer, and that's your life. That's fine.
What were you
going to
say, Nick?
Oh,
about the comic books and the different parallel universe.
We talked about this the story about when they were making the 1978 Superman. They were trying to get it greenlit, trying to get backing for the movie,
mm-hmm.
but no one would back it because they're like, well, it's a superhero thing. No one really gives a crap about superhero movies. And they were like going over the story with like the director and the writers, like the people they were trying to sell it to. Like, no one cares that it's this boy whose parents ship him off to a different land, and then he you know, no one is an alien. It makes no sense. And then to win the backing for the movie, they're like, well, think about it this way though. What other story? What other famous story do you know of that has parents that put their kid like in a small like boat on a river and send him to a different world?
Oh.
And they're like, well, the Bible. And they're like, well, yeah, that's right. And then that's how they got the pretty much backing and momentum for the movie, kind of going back to the idea that the superheroes are modern myths. Like, they're still taking that famous story.
Yes, indeed. And they become, and often some superhero stories, like, they even live on, and like superheroes like live on forever because someone assumes that.
Mm-hmm.
So there is always that presence, that godlike presence in society, keeping things under control, because like someone else becomes Superman, or someone else becomes or someone else is a Green Lantern.
I mean, that's one of the theories for the, not to go into comic books too much, but
no,
like,
I'm right along with you. That's the idea of what the end of the Dark Knight Rises
is, that someone else becomes Batman.
Yeah, oh yeah, there's lots of speculation going around that Batman is going to die at the end of the Dark Knight Rises, but at that point, it's okay, because the myth has gone on so long. Yeah, it's not about the Batman himself. It's about the idea of the Batman.
Yeah.
And that somebody will eventually come to take his place. There will always be a Dark Knight.
The Batman
rises. Mm-hmm. Dark Knight rises.
I guess that's another thing, too. They all deal in some way with immortality.
Well, I mean, Marvel tackles it in a lot of crazy ways that are very interesting in the comic books themselves. Is LP in the chat room? Because he's probably nerding out.
He's still... Oh, wait, no, he might have ducked out.
Well, for a while, because they're in Marvel, at least I can only speak for Marvel comics, they have these alien creatures like Galactus and all those. And they just, and one year in the 90s, they explained why they were there. They explained, they had these gods. They had, you know, Odin, Thor, all these people.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, these are gods. And they're like, no, these aren't gods. These are aliens from another planet that came to this, that or nothing. They're ethereal. And they came to this planet and they inhabited, the people of Earth couldn't understand what they were. So they projected their images of these gods onto them. And through those projections, they had the power as aliens to anthropomorphize into what the humans thought they were.
Wait, you said this was like Thor and them?
This
like that
Thor
realm?
Yes. And, wow. And this is, and so, yeah, and so because we think Thor is this, based on our imagination, they become that. And then there's
That's
a whole storyline that explains, that Loki explains it all.
I'm imagining now, like, because
Loki explains it, and you believe it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I'm just imagining.
He's lying. It's Loki.
I'm just imagining, because I saw Thor for the first time on Blu-ray, like, a week ago or so. I'm just imagining the scene where, like... Like Odin and Thor get reunited again, and Thor's just like, it's so great to be back in Asgard with all the other gods. And Odin's like, remember, Thor, we're not gods, we're aliens. And then credits.
Probably would have taken a lot out of it.
And then the thing with S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Avengers at the end.
Oh, yes, of course.
Can we, I just thought of this, can we go back to what you said about Batman? It's okay that if Bruce Wayne dies.
Oh, here we go.
Sure, let's do this.
Because I'm pretty sure in the last movie, there were some people that tried to take Batman's place.
Yeah, they were shitty at it,
though.
They
didn't do so well. Because what if you do if you're not Bruce Wayne and have access to millions and billions
of Bruce
dollars?
Bruce Wayne...
And ninja training.
But he has lots of warts.
Ninja training.
He's got Robin. And Robin takes place of Batman when Batman goes away. In some
who
of the comic
Robin?
Books.
What if Robin dies?
If Robin
who
has
Robin's
died.
The Robin?
Robin's died. It's been different. Jason Todd was murdered by the Joker. And,
he's like a
and
cabinet.
So... What?
A cabinet of people.
There is. It's like Nightwing. There's the Red Robin. There's Robin. And I think then he's either the Red Hood or Damian Wayne.
And then there's Catwoman
Robin,
Riddler Robin,
oh, yeah.
Two-Face Robin.
Don't forget that one.
Well, they talk about this, and they've said like the third Batman movie is gonna be more similar to the first one. And they had the scene in the plane in Batman Begins where Christian Bale says, "If I become something more, a symbol," and I think that's
mm-hmm.
what they're getting at is
yeah.
so much. Yeah, I mean, I don't really
yeah,
have... I can't really
idea.
Have a precise argument other than that. That's just a theory I have for Scott Tensor.
I mean, even if he dies, he becomes almost a god of Gotham. Like people still have that hope in their hearts. Like, even when there is a little bit of evil in the world, parents can just tell their children, like, it's okay. The Batman is out there watching us.
You know what I really hope is, thousands of years from now, when we're just a chapter in a history book.
We
a good chapter.
Thank
you.
If kids will have to study us, and they'll half-ass it, and they'll not really understand, and they'll just think we believed all that shit like our religion. Like, we believed in the Spider-Man watching over us.
You have to figure, suppose we as a society somehow disappear, we get annihilated somehow or whatever, and because this is how we, this is what we know of old ancient cultures, we know it by their relics left behind. Like, we know a lot of things about, like, the Greeks and the Romans because of a lot of the stuff that they left behind. But there are other, like, lesser-known cultures. There are cultures for which we only have a couple of artifacts of theirs, and we have to kind of guess on what their entire culture
is. We have to
assume
their entire culture are those three things we found.
So they worshipped a guy by the name of Stripes that looked like Bill Murray.
As he looks at our poster of Stripes.
That they found in a pyramid in
Lakeview.
That's
the thing. You could easily mistake things if you, like, you're a different, like, kind of being, so you don't understand English and all this. And you see, like, someone has tattooed. It's just some guy who fucking loves Stripes, just covered in Stripes tattoos. I mean, like, he must have been some high religious leader. He must have been some prophet of, you know, the Stripes.
He couldn't have been just some dude.
Yeah, I would understand that we have douchebags on our planet that would do something like that.
Yeah. There's all sorts of them.
Well, I should say it's crazy. Something like, hey, if history is only based off of what is recorded, then you can never really know.
Yeah, history is only based off the larger-than-life characters that exist in stories. Mm-hmm. It is only ever existing in stories because people just emulate their stories in their art.
And it's written by the winners of those stories. So, like,
So
it's skewed by those people and their biases.
I'm going to write a book about how I actually saved 17 people in my life. I don't care if I end up doing that.
Just get it bound, Keith. Get it bound really, really nice.
Oh yeah.
And go dig it and just leave it in some really deep
hole.
Like,
put it in a briefcase and drop it down a well.
Throw it into the ocean. No, wait, no, they'll find it in the ocean too quickly.
And like, I think about that sometimes when I think of like these jokes about like Chuck Norris, and he could do all these.
Oh, they think
things.
That he's our god.
Well, I mean, look at the evidence. If I saw the evidence, and people are saying he punches oceans.
But how far fetched is that from some stories? In
exactly,
it's crazy.
Yeah. It's same thing. I mean, there's modern ones with presidents. Like I could never. George Washington could never tell a lie, or he chopped down a cherry tree or some shit. Right.
Much of which is not actually true.
No, right.
But this it's true enough in our minds to where like people get taught in elementary school history class. That's what George Washington said. That's who he was. He was the first president. And he could never tell a lie.
You know what? It's really just how you teach children things. You add little details to it so they enjoy it.
Yeah.
So a 5-year-old doesn't care about the first man who did something, but he cares about
the moral story.
The moral story of it, and that's just what he associates that character with. Yeah. So at least you know. The kid just needs to know the fact that he was president first.
Yeah.
They can believe whatever they believe about him. Just know what he did.
You know, I these aren't really myths, but I really enjoyed Aesop's Fables.
Oh, I love those.
Aesop's Fables, yeah.
What's your favorite?
Oh, gosh.
I don't know Aesop's Fables. What
they're like the tortoise and the hare.
I think I always like the grasshopper and the ant.
That's a great one.
What
do they do?
It's a classic.
Do they fight?
Once upon a time, there was a grasshopper. Now, he owned 3 school districts. It was a private school, grasshopper, of course. Now, there was this ant.
Right.
This ant was an ex-Marine.
What did the grasshopper really want to do with his life?
He wanted to be a bagel maker, like every grasshopper.
Okay.
So, he sells the 3 school districts to the Marine ant for very cheap.
You got it right so far.
And he says to the Marine ant that if he can do something with these, then he'll have a free life. He just has he can wealth and fortune because he works really hard to do this job, but
yeah,
he doesn't really know how to do that job.
He's
an ex-tech. He's not a school district owner. I mean, that's a totally different job.
I don't think they call him school district owner.
It's what they call him.
I work in education.
It's the story, not me. I am just telling the story.
All right, fair enough.
This may not be real, dude. I don't know. I'm telling the story. So anyway,
Aesop's.
The grasshopper, he goes into the bagel making business, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like hard. It's hard to do. I don't know if you've ever tried to open a bagel.
Well, there's so many other fucking grasshopper bagels.
Exactly.
There's so much competition.
But he's not going to let his dad be right.
No, I mean,
fuck that guy.
No, because
he wasn't even there for him when he needed him.
You know, that's really an asshole thing of his dad, who was a bagel maker, to discourage his son from bagel making.
You should understand.
He wanted a better life for his son because he came from a dick asshole.
It's the vicious cycle.
My son, the bagel maker.
You can be so much more. You can be better.
He wanted more, but he discouraged him. The grasshopper originally didn't see it.
But
like
don't forget
that.
About that ant.
Oh no,
that
I'm sorry.
Ant is dealing with the pressures of getting calls from the parents about his failure as a school district owner.
He lost his wife.
He lost his wife.
No one talks about
that. He loses his wife. Half of his home caves in. His
the government's
family,
not going to pay for that.
500 of his
problem.
Brothers and sisters die.
It's a lot, dude. Man. It's heavy.
Yeah, that's my favorite story.
Although every Aesop's fable has a moral at the end, which is, of course,
don't go into things you don't understand.
Exactly.
Like Aesop's fable.
It is, look before you leap.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah. Scott, that's my favorite one.
That's a good one. I love that one.
Is he one of the grandchildren or of one of the Greek gods?
I don't know who Aesop is.
As I understand it, I didn't think there was much mythology behind Aesop. He was just like a writer, philosopher kind of dude.
Yeah.
So, did you guys ever see the cartoons they made out of him?
No.
Yeah.
No. It's made by the same people that made Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen a million of them.
No, I've not.
So good.
Well, they're slightly modernized too. The animals get to be like kind of quirky and sassy and shit, right?
They do have that 60s sass.
Yeah. Huh?
You know, it must be really awkward when you're believing in all this stuff. You believe this is what you... But to be in one of those religions that's like dying off, like the last like 100 years of like legitimately believing in all these Greek gods and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... groups of people though that are like really old world and like
I guess you gotta figure like there are still people in America that practice witchcraft, you know there are still Wiccans in the world. I imagine the population will dwindle, but you gotta imagine there's still that handful of people that'll just never let it go.
What do you classify them as? Dumb people?
What do they call them? Yes, dumb people.
Dumb people. The
dumb
people that put their hands over words and phrases and expect magic.
Yes.
With a candle.
Spellcasters.
Yes. Spellcasting.
Level 3
is what I'm getting at. People who cast spells. That's
but
what
I but you know what? I don't blame people for sticking to their guns on witchcraft, because what a kick-ass thing to believe.
Hey, I've had friends. I have friends that are witches.
I don't know if I have any friends that are still witches. I did like in high school.
Yeah, I did too in high school. I think they moved on.
I have no idea.
Understanding that they were just a stupid person.
What's the qualifications to call yourself a witch?
I don't know.
You buy a book from fucking boredom.
I just don't know.
You like nature, and
it just seems so cheap.
Like you buy those books at Borders.
Yeah.
You go to
you can buy the
they
goddamn
have,
spell
they have
books.
A whole section of them that instantly qualify you for
it
witchery.
Is at Borders.
But it's a lot of it's behind the glass case, so you gotta be special or just ask.
Just in the library.
Keith, there ain't no more Borders.
There was when I knew these
I
people.
Know, I know.
So no, maybe there's no more witchcraft.
It's all on
Borders.
Mine
probably has it.
Where are...
I know Borders had it.
Yeah.
Borders didn't have class.
I don't know about you guys. My favorite mythological type creature.
Yeah.
And this has come up in shows before. I don't know where they come from, but I love goblins the most.
Goblins.
I think goblins are so fun. Here's why I love goblins. goblins are frightening, and they're evil.
Goblin. Like, what's your goblin look like?
Because there are lots of different types of goblins from many different.
Okay.
Religions.
Here's what distinguishes goblins from everyone else. Goblins are always busy. They're evil, but they're doing stuff.
What are you talking about?
They're actively doing it.
What goblins are you doing?
They're filing their taxes. They're paying their
Are you talking like Harry Potter goblins? Because they are busy.
How can you tell if someone's busy or not?
Because they're always doing something.
That's what you think the goblins are.
They're doing stuff quick.
That's why does that pop up in my head like that? I always imagine.
Are you thinking gremlins?
No, gremlins are mischievous.
Gremlins can hang out. Gremlins aren't always doing everything.
Goblins are busy.
Oh yeah, they're busy.
I do imagine goblins being busier than, say, your average troll.
Of course.
I imagine them being busier.
Trolls
than
are fat asses, for sure.
You're all speculating, all of you. No idea.
God, trolls are lazy as shit.
Have you ever seen a troll recite the alphabet correctly?
If I call you a goblin...
Isn't Gimli a troll?
No, Gimli's
a dwarf.
He's a dwarf.
The cave troll was a troll.
Trolls are things that wield clubs at columns of stone.
Yeah. They're brutes, of course.
That's fun, though, how that's been a thing in language. We'll take... You know, I'll call people goblins, but when you call someone a troll... That's from mythology, but you're saying...
Yeah.
You know,
that's the 80s collectible with the jewel belly button.
Yeah, those are treasure trolls.
But I mean, you're right. There's meaning behind calling somebody a zombie. Mm. Or, you know, it does stick around.
Well, like, trolls and goblins, and those are mostly Norse mythology.
Norse mythology came up with a bunch of evil shit. They were way into everything being awful.
Well, the reason
my father's people.
They lived the winter. They lived in like Scandinavia.
Yeah, they lived in awful places.
And so where it's just like everything, like you'll die. Everything, like you go anywhere and you're dead. If he's gone for a day, he's dead. And what's easier would be like, oh, a troll got him. I don't know. It's like don't go in there. It's troll woods. Or goblin style.
And like the end of their world is just Ragnarok, which, as I understand it, is like a super apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
John Hodgman himself calls it a super apocalypse.
Yes. I think all the worlds attack, like there's like frost giants and fucking.
Like the world
trolls.
Is bathed in fire and blood,
oh,
and
yeah,
all the gods
horrible.
Are like fighting everyone. The gods just murder everybody.
What do you think about it? I was just gonna say, like, that reminds me of the boogeyman. Like, we still tell kids today. These crazy things are real when really it's just, you know, our way of saying, oh, it's this thing.
You know, when I have kids, I don't think I'm going to torture them with the story of the boogeyman.
Wait, there's no story of the boogeyman, is there? I think it's just that...
He lives under your bed and he will fucking kill you.
But that's not a story, that's a sentence.
That's your story.
It's a short story.
That's all it. Right.
I think it's
sentence long. Yeah,
well, I think
short.
About it, it's like, it stems from, like, it said the boogeyman. That's a childhood fear. Of a monster. There's monsters everywhere.
But the name Boogeyman has to come from somewhere. There is some
sort of...
Well,
that's... Americans... English people, speaking people, call it a Boogeyman. They call it, like, different things in different parts of the world.
Fred,
of course, if you're in Iceland.
Maybe these creature things.
La Cucuye. Cucuye is in Spanish. Is La Cucuye.
Well, see, the thing about the Boogeyman, though, is the Boogeyman's never actually scary. Right? Isn't that like once you find the book? Because like in today's modern thing, when they say, "Oh, he's a like," if you say Obama's a boogeyman, you say, "Oh, he's scared." They use him. They throw his name out to scare people.
True, but I feel like that term might have morphed for the sake of like politics and stuff.
But
there's never
a monster under the. I mean, that's the thing we always explain.
Well,
the boogeyman is they're afraid, and there's never a monster.
That's true.
So he's a monster that doesn't
except
actually...
Except that one time there was a monster.
Yeah. Except when there's the monster.
I mean, unless there was a time in history where, like, there's just, like, fucking... I guess if you live in, like, a tent or something, like a raccoon or some beast living under
you
your
know,
bed.
Troll. There were some animals in history that were awful things.
Yes. Still, really.
Yeah, I mean...
Bear is a terrible creature.
Sharks are bad.
Sharks are
scary.
What
and
is a shark
and things that are like sharks.
God,
reptiles.
Reptiles
are awful creatures.
They can't feel shame. Like, a dog can feel shame.
They're worse than stupid people. I'll tell you that. That's for sure.
I'll tell you that right now.
I'll tell you that right
now. On a limb right now and say that. Reptiles,
God almighty, I believe it.
Yeah, I can't wait till it's warm again. I love going to the zoo. I feel like,
laughing
I feel,
at the animals.
Stupid animals.
I feel like...
We're better than you.
No.
That's why you're in there.
We look at you.
Oh. How's
that's
that
what
dead
a zoo
rat
is,
Cloud.
You went to a zoo and you had fun.
Wanted
so you're guilty. You're guilty. What? But don't go to zoos then. Don't go to zoos then.
I love zoos.
You love zoos, bigot. You're like the slave owner who's like, oh, I wish I didn't have a slave, but I hate working.
I feel bad for animals, but I eat them.
Well, I know, so the bigot.
Thus is the plight of man.
Yeah.
Indeed.
This is like man's dilemma we're talking here.
Well, yeah.
Because I feel so bad, but I gotta live.
The Greeks.
I gotta live.
The Greeks didn't really worship any animals, did they?
The gods would often turn into animals.
Yeah, they turn into animals.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that there were any animals themselves that were considered sacred.
Because in many other philosophies and religions, there are sacred animals.
The cat.
The helicopter.
Argentina, they are just not allowed to... You're not allowed to touch or harm a helicopter.
You know.
The Argentinian?
Yeah.
Argentinian.
If they see a helicopter up it's in the holy. Sky, they think it's a visit from up on high.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, dude, there's probably like weird societies that see the helicopter and do not get it. One day, like, the whole community's a buzz because a helicopter went over the town.
There's a video of that.
There's a major theory about when the Mayflower landed on Plymouth Rock, the Native Americans that saw... It was Cortez. That's what it was.
It was Cortez.
When Cortez first landed in... was it like South America?
Yeah,
or Central
it was like
America?
Central America.
Yeah, they didn't see the ships coming.
I've heard this explanation. So, I don't believe it, but I know exactly what you're
talking
about.
Wait, what do you mean they didn't see the ships coming?
Because they say in the philosophers say that they were coming, but they didn't have any concept of what a boat was.
They couldn't believe what it was, so they always just look out at the water and see just endless blue as far as you could see.
It's a weird. I don't believe it, but
that's
like,
a pretty out there.
Yeah,
philosophy.
Like,
but
because you don't even know what you're looking for. It's just
they like a magical.
Yeah,
they
but
were
then,
such
but the rest of
stupid
that.
People.
But, I mean, that's at the same really time, weird. You guys think of like optical illusions and how much your eyes can play tricks on you.
Oh yeah,
you don't you think it's think possible something things. Like that?
Yeah,
oh,
but
yeah.
I feel like if I saw something, even if it was
be
so.
There.
Beyond me, I'd be able to see it.
Like if I saw a dragon flying overhead us all in downtown Chicago, I wouldn't be like, dragons aren't real.
I don't see that.
But what if you saw something that you had never seen before and
like
had
a
never,
dragon?
And no, and but had never you've seen what a depiction
okay,
of a dragon is.
Okay, so something
is,
I have no idea
no
of what
concept
it could possibly
look like. Of like something that doesn't exist in our entire reality, a force that doesn't exist.
I would certainly question its reality. I feel like I would still acknowledge its presence,
well,
though.
That's the thing, though. It's
although
not,
I don't know,
because it's never just one person how you form it. It's always someone just I saw something. No, it was really fast, and it was, like, enormous.
Here's the weirdest thing. What if it's not, like, sight? What if it's not any emotion or other sense we have? You have a new sense to a new thing.
That's impossible. That's what those oracles are for. Right?
Yeah.
So to
cut
see
open
the weird
that
shit
thing,
that you don't really
the
think
third
you
eye.
Yeah.
Speak to us, meat oracle.
Now, I mean, that just goes to show for people that just can't explain something, they have to make it like magical or mystical. And that same story.
Yeah, stupid people.
Stupid people. The whole theme of this podcast.
They put together
stupid people.
Random things that can't work. And when you say, how does it work? They say, magic works it. So that's what happens. He came right out of his head. Magic.
Hey, if somebody asked me how something works, it's probably way more fun to say it's magic.
It is, but
although,
it's just
I mean,
when
okay.
it goes down the line, it's not real.
But if say tomorrow morning or tomorrow at like noon, like right above the Clark and Division stop off the Red Line, and just a point appears in the air. Mm-hmm. And you can't see it, you don't know how to explain it, but just 100-mile-an-hour winds pour out from every single direction from that one point in space, and they never stop. To us, it might be science, we can probably explain it, but until we do, that's kind of magic.
Oh yeah.
What, especially like, if what it was
you
just
can't
bees?
Explain.
Dude, if it was just bees pouring out endlessly,
100 miles an hour.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Bees at 100 miles an hour. It's a dense.
We
fog
talked
of
before
bees.
About the bee hour where they all turn enormous. What if the bees were just fucking enormous suddenly?
What if?
I think that's the plot of that.
Coming
new
from
rock
the bee
movie,
spout.
Yeah.
The magical bee spout in the sky.
We
he sends down a 20-foot
We have angered the gods.
The
bees
now,
are about.
We don't have a good explanation other
but
than
now,
the gods are angry.
Now, those of us who are more scientifically oriented, like, I went to college for science, so I would like to think I would have a little bit of a skeptical mind initially and think, like, there's got to be an explanation for this. I don't know how science
nope,
can explain it.
Matter's coming from nothing. Giant bees are just
the space
material.
Bees have arrived, perhaps, is the first
well,
thing.
Well, like, to jump on that, I would also say that...
to jump on that fact.
To jump on the space bee spout.
Bees, well, mostly the wind, is that no matter what, the universe is huge and infinite, and our minds are limited. So even if we, you know, studied science in college and get our master's, and we know everything there is to know about... science and physics and all that. Like,
should've got a PhD, that's the problem.
But, you know, like, thank you. But, yeah, even if we know all that we can, like, we're still limited by our mind,
mm-hmm.
which interprets the information.
And you know the only way for us to get smarter? Eat more animals.
What do you, what? Oh,
as a culture, we gotta keep on eating protein. It's allowed our brains to get so much bigger.
Yeah, it's allowed us
as,
to get really
as a,
awesome.
As a society, we've got to eat more meat.
Thank
and maybe
you.
We should start eating each other.
But then it hurts the environment.
Down.
Wait, what?
There's too many of us. There's frankly, my dear, there are too many people on this earth.
True. You know, really, once,
stupid people.
Once,
would be
one, okay, well, might I propose every year on, say, Christmas Day,
we kill a stupid person.
Everyone has to take a 100-question multiple choice test.
Dude, that's
and
gonna be so stressful.
The bottom 10% annually just get eaten.
That's so stressful.
Jesus Society will get so smart because they'll be. They don't want to. You don't want to be that bottom 10%.
Oh God, you don't want to be the bottom.
Did
you're
you
gonna get eaten
this,
on Christmas
did you
Day.
Study for this Christmas.
I assume
exam.
Alive.
Find
I assume
the final
you're
exam.
Like the bottom 10%. How many people are getting tested?
Everyone
on
Earth.
On the planet.
And there's a world census.
You have an age design test
every year. You say?
Yeah, every year on Christmas Day.
What is it, like 700
oh,
million people about?
Yeah.
Something like
boy,
that?
Boy, did this shit come
right
on fast.
The day before Christmas.
I just feel so blindsided by
Christmas.
I know, I feel like it's Christmas Day, 9 a.m., everybody takes the test.
Uh-huh.
By noon, everyone gets the results back.
Hey, those Greeks weren't doing sacrifices because they weren't fucking working.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
It's like, maybe it helps.
I was totally saying that to one of our producers not too long ago about how we need to get rid of some people. I said 600 million. The fact that you have said 700 million.
The world's population is
still
somewhere in between.
Roughly
pretty close. My idea of killing everybody is not going so bad.
Why did you independently have your idea of killing 10% of the world?
Because there's too many. I was like, we need to get rid of at least, I don't know,
it
600
like
million
the
of us.
Holocaust to me.
There's
well,
not too many yet.
But it's not a Holocaust based on how you look.
No.
It's based on how dumb you are.
Yes.
It's what about the third world countries?
What about them? We all need to live.
It's
I was
just,
making the argument.
Just justifying killing poor
they're
people.
They're dragging us down.
The test results don't lie,
over,
Scott.
I mean, I'm not arguing. I passed.
But, yeah, as long as you're not in the bottom 10%, I guess you're okay.
Don't be an idiot.
God, even for super smart people, it's so
over,
fucking stressful.
Over time, you're going to dwindle down your population.
Yeah, over time.
And then everyone's going to get stupid because of inbreeding.
But what if those dumbos would actually be able to, you know, have the genetic key to curing a certain disease?
Well, then, oops.
Oopsie doopsie.
It'll be like
then
a 10-year
oops.
Plan, by
but,
the way, too.
Well, you
got to
think 10
okay.
years. Do you think that we're in the top, not in the bottom 10% of the world? There's some fucking smart-ass
yes.
people.
Yes,
yes. There
I
are
believe
plenty
we,
of dumber people
I believe
than
we
I.
are at least in the 10th percentile.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, good.
Out of people, and let's be fair. Let's have a cutoff age of at least 18, so we don't kill off our entire society.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of dumb people. There's a lot of them.
Man, kids will spend so much time learning.
See, there are going to be improvements in this society.
No, I feel like if this is real, everyone would just read all the time to try and get smarter and smarter and smarter.
Or murder all the smart people.
Yeah. Either way, we're getting rid of some of these.
They still got to be in the top.
If you can scrape some off the top, you'll lower the amount and raise the percentage.
No one will have fun if we do this.
Everyone
will just read like a bunch of nerds.
If you're smart enough to figure that out, you don't need to kill anybody.
That's right.
So I think I tweeted earlier, I like the possible ideas we're having for our own religion. I guess this is where
yearly sacrifice.
Well, I already made a tweet. Superheroes. I already tweeted about how I think you could start a religion where we worship helicopters.
I would.
It's true. They do it in Argentina.
They're great. They move upward and forward.
Mm-hmm. We need like.
We need some sort of.
Backwards. I mean, somewhere throughout history, is it inconceivable that a religion would have started with a small indigenous group of people based on the idea of a point in space from which poured out space bees?
No. All you need to do is get it believable enough to fool people, you know, 2,000 years from now, and being like, oh, we were dumb, this is what we thought. Like,
let's just write documentation on it every day for like the next 20 years of our lives.
Yeah, just bury some like fancy looking book somewhere and like
our religion. We're like do not read.
We're like the Wikipedia trolls of our time.
Yeah, we're just plagiarizing our own existence.
Yeah, it's changing it and from where it really happened.
You mad, bro?
Problem?
I get that joke.
In a way, stories have always been Wikipedia.
Just like in the cricket and the ant.
We made our own mythology, though.
I know. That's a cricket now.
No, the Octavarius.
It's my favorite story, Scott.
Just gotta change it.
Make sure he got it right.
Just gotta say it's different now.
The story of the Octavarius is a myth that we created, in the theme song. We lay out this lore.
And we expand it pretty constantly, too.
And hold all the things true.
Yeah.
I like the Tinz's janitor character has expanded to have quite a story.
He's immortal now. Yeah. LP wrote the janitor to be immortal.
Well, he had to be, yes. Yeah. I brought you back to life in that one show.
I guess I did. I was on the Hindenburg. Oh,
God. You've died before.
And the Titanic. Die again.
The Titanic, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I guess he has died.
He went down on the Titanic. Now. Oh, man. These are all shows that we've had.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's our thing. It's the invasion. It's the fun. We're making everybody fun.
We're finally making everybody fun.
Just like the great game of golf.
Gee, where Ken has info?
You can has from
Clouds Golf Tips.
Get into a circle with all of your opponents for the tournament. Arm each one of them with a weapon in which to attack you with. Then, after the attack, let them know you're immortal. You, therefore, are the winner.
This has been
Clouds Golf Tips.
Hey, Dave, a grouper.
Walls.
They all going to jail.
I mean, you threaten their life. Is that? Did I get that? Is that what happened? You pull out a sword and threaten them.
You say,
you give them a weapon. You arm them.
And then you ask them to kill you.
Yeah, and then you're like, so
I'm immortal.
Now you all going to jail.
And that's a hell of a golf tip.
That's a golf tip.
Well, folks, we are just about out of time for our podcast. Man, I love talking about Greek gods and
we didn't talk much about them.
Yeah, no, I guess no.
You know
we
what?
Didn't.
I have one thing I can add to this podcast.
Great.
That I realized at the beginning, and then I forgot about, and then I realized again. Through the multitudes of random songs that I've written in my phone, I wrote a rap about Greek mythology. At some point, and it names a lot of them. And I think it's only one verse, and I think it was to the beat of Jay-Z, just the New York song, the Jay-Z rap, so it's in that rhythm. So I was thinking I could say some of it.
I would love that.
And if I can remember it, I'll do my best.
All right.
It's just, I wrote it in my iPhone, and I've read it over a couple times, but it's, I make no apology that I think there is no myth within the Greek mythology. I'll start over with
okay.
Give me a beat. Drop a beat. I make no apology when I say that there's more men than the Greek mythology. I still feel that all of the different gods and goddesses provide us with our pants and shoes and bodices. And honest, it's a feeling that I've got in this heart and brain. My knowledge is vast and far-reaching. The teachings that I learned in World War History to make me want to tell to you. Make me want to tell you to praise, give praise to Zeus Almighty, give praise to Aphrodite, give praise to Ares and Hermes and Poseidon, the god of the ocean. And that's as far as I got.
And horses.
Yeah. And horses, that's right. He is the god of horses, too.
For no reason.
Yeah.
Breathe life into the
just like the ocean, horses.
Ocean horses.
Well, folks, we are just about at the end of our podcast, but if you are listening to this live on Octavarius.com,
thanks.
That means this Sunday's show is the Greek Gods show. So come on down if you don't
fuck the Patriots.
Thank you. And as always, follow us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at Octavarius. And our comedy sports shows, 929 West Belmont, Sundays at 7, are running through the end of February. It's the end of our current run, so get out and see us while you still can. And many, many thanks to those lots of people who have come out to see our January shows. The attendance has been wonderful. It's January. It's so cold, and everybody's still coming to see these shows. It's
nice.
It really feels great to
and they're just lovely people, too.
They're wonderful people.
It's
awesome.
Great.
Very attractive.
Yes.
Very, very beautiful people.
Yeah, we'd make out with them all.
I'd leave you all bung in a row.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And with that, we're almost out of time, but... Looking at my watch, we've got just enough time for Nick Mikula's
Seven Words of wisdom.
Dear teacher, fuck your play. Sincerely, Tins.
Nice.
Nice.
Very
good.
Nick Mikula's Seven Words of Wisdom.
Wow, man. I finally did it, man.
I know, like,
I was just about to say, like, you had said a fucking word.
I know,
like,
it's always when he's barely talking at all, the last 20 minutes of the podcast is because he's brewing up a storm in there. home run, Mikula.
Boom.
Boom.
And with that, we are going to let you guys go. Until next time, have 8 days in a wicked week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye.
So run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.
He sings the crowd. Learned in World War II. Nick McCoy is smiling to say.